Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, November 25th, 2022. The head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan says illegal roadblocks are slowing service delivery in the country.
The cry from your people is that the roadblocks are too much, too many.
More coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan government has suspended participation in the Rome talks, accusing holdout opposition groups of buying time to prepare for war. Barnaba Marial, South Sudan's Minister for Presidential Affairs, says the opposition groups used the Rome initiative as a cover-up to allow them to prepare for war. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
The national government says it has pulled out of the Rome peace talks until further notice because the holdout rebels group are only using the initiative to buy time in order to prepare for war. In a letter addressed to the Secretary General of Sant Egidio in Rome, in Italy, Barnaba Marial Benjamin, the presidential affairs minister, says the government took the decision to prevent what he called a mockery of the noble process. This letter informs the community of Sant Egidio that the revitalized transitional government of national unity has suspended its participation in the Rome peace talks until further notice. This decision was not arrived at lightly, said Benjamin. He added that while the government has engaged with holdout opposition groups to, in his words, bring lasting peace to the people of South Sudan, it has come to our attention that this group is using these talks to buy time as they prepare for war. Marial, who also chairs the government's delegation at the Rome talks, says the government has always been committed to the initiative in the hope of bringing permanent peace to the country and not to cause another conflict. He said in the letter, the government has long considered the Rome initiative a facilitative avenue for peaceful resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. The letter further states, quote, since this new development that used the Rome Initiative as a cover in preparation for war is diametrically opposed to our view on the same, the government took the decision to suspend the talks with non-signatory until further notice to prevent the mockery of this noble process, end quote. The opposition groups who are united under the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance have been in talks with the government with the aim of being incorporated into the 2018 peace deal. The holdout groups include General Thomas Thrilo Swaka, who leads the National Salvation Front, General Paul Malong Awan, who leads the South Sudan United Front, and General Pagan Amom, who leads the Real SPLM. The talks were being mediated by the community of San Egidio, based in Rome. The government's move to pull out of the talks comes a month after political and military leaders of the groups, formerly known as South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, renamed themselves the Non-Signatories. The new name was agreed upon in the Italian capital, Rome, following meetings with EGAD and Troika partners 2 weeks ago. Reacting to the government's decision, Pagan Amom, who heads the opposition group Real SPLM, says the group was dismayed to hear the government withdrew from the Rome peace process.
The government of South Sudan is trying to scuttle any effort to achieve a peaceful resolution of the conflict and to rescue the country from the current deep national crisis. We want to engage in dialogue, and that is our mission, and we believe that we need to talk now. It is ridiculous for the government to say they don't want to talk because they think that the opposition is preparing for war. No, we want to stop all wars.
Amom says engaging each other in the roundtable discussions in search for peace is the best way for the stakeholders to rescue the country from what he calls continuous failures of the transitional government to hatch a South Sudan into peace and democracy.
We believe it is through dialogue, it is through coming together as all stakeholders that we can learn from our mistakes and we can begin to build consensus, chart a way forward with all the capacity as a people to build a peaceful, free, just and prosperous new South Sudan for all.
Amom says the government's accusations that his group is buying time to prepare for war is baseless and helped South Sudan officials to return to the bargaining table in Rome. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Juba.
A religious leader is urging governors and leaders of the three administrative areas in South Sudan to remove illegal roadblocks across the country. The primate of the Anglican Church in South Sudan says roadblocks affect the delivery of services, especially to those in need. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
The issue of the roadblocks is a problem to all humanitarian organizations and all those right-based organizations that are operating and transacting and moving across, giving services. And not only on the land, but also on the River Rhine.
That is Bol Deng, Executive Director of Intrepid, South Sudan, one of many local organizations that has described the hardships caused by primarily government forces who set up illegal checkpoints along several roads across the country. Deng says sometimes aid workers are forced to dig deep into their pockets to pay off officers who run illegal checkpoints as they make their way to those in need. In some situations, he says aid workers are forced to spend a night at such checkpoints if there is no money paid until they are rescued by someone from their base office.
That they always give for justification to these charges is that this money that we collect from you, we collect to keep us doing our work, to keep us wearing this uniform we are wearing, because they don't get these services that the government ought to give them on time, and so they get these charges, you know, to keep them in the place of duty, and disorganized forces who create roadblocks.
Deng's organization operates in parts of Jonglei State, delivering humanitarian aid to vulnerable people, especially those in remote areas. Deng says sometimes the officers manning the checkpoints do not charge much money depending on the load being transported, but he says the frequent stopovers at checkpoints cause delays and, for the case of traders, force prices of goods to hike. Archbishop Justin Badi Arama spoke recently during the South Sudan Governors Forum in Juba. He says calls to address illegal checkpoints across parts of the country is a cry for help from the people. Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil admits illegal checkpoints exist in the state. He says although his government issued executive orders for county commissioners to shut down illegal checkpoints, they continue in some areas.
As we go from here, we'll go and make sure if there is any roadblock, I don't want to deny, if there's any roadblock, has to be removed for the best interest of our people. And that one, we have an order as a government, we don't entertain roadblock, but official road checkpoints, which are international now, borders, these are entertained for purposes of custom and other related services.
Jonglei State Governor Denai Chagor admits the problem exists in his state too, but he blames the problem on bureaucratic policies within the unity government.
We are in a coalition government, and we are in a government where it is a formulation of political parties, armed political parties, and so moving things in some areas sometimes is not easy. It's not a one-day, you know, decision that you can make. You have to consult with people. you know it so well. There are some areas in South Sudan that are called, you know, control areas of some parties.
At the opening of the Governors Forum in Juba this week, Archbishop Justin Buddy called on the governors to address the issue, saying it is affecting service delivery to citizens.
I want to say to our governors, the cry from your people is that the roadblocks are too much, too many. So please, reduce them or remove them for free movement to deliver service to the people.
The issue of illegal roadblocks surfaced in recent years, causing concern among aid workers and traders. It has remained unaddressed, even though the unity government was formed nearly 3 years ago after the parties signed the 2018 revitalized peace deal. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Malawi is in the grip of its worst cholera outbreak in more than a decade. Just as the world suffers a global vaccine shortage and as the country heads into rainy season when the disease is likely to spread quickly. Dole reports for Reuters from Malawi.
At a health center in Malawi's commercial capital, Blantyre, a nurse is checking the IV drip on a patient. One victim of the country's worst cholera outbreak in more than a decade. For the patient's mother, Alida Piri, it is her second time in this ward.
She's not the only one. Her younger sister was also right here in this very room a couple of days ago. I can testify that cholera is a serious disease and we need to take precautions.
Malawi's healthcare system has identified a few health centres to focus on cholera treatment. Patients have been arriving in droves, and healthcare workers like Eunice Mselemu say they are struggling.
When you know what to do, but then you don't have this, you don't have enough equipment, and you don't have the supplies and the resources that you need to conduct or to deliver your work, then that comes a challenge and a drawback for you to deliver.
Complicating matters further is a lack of vaccines amid a global shortage. In October, the World Health Organization declared that they would follow a single-dose strategy. That's despite the fact that the cholera vaccine needs two doses to be most effective. At One Blantyre Health Center, clinician Pilarani Wanja is showing residents how to self-administer an oral cholera vaccine. She says that out of the 32 cholera cases they've received, none were vaccinated.
So it means that for those that received, they are fine. So it means if more people get the vaccine, I think we can reduce the cases.
Malawi still needs to roll out its second phase of cholera vaccines after taking a delivery of 2.9 million doses from the Global Alliance of Vaccines, Gavi, through the WHO. With the rainy season now arriving, the fear is that the outbreak is only going to get worse.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at what is happening in Qatar as African national teams compete for the World Cup.
Speak out on important questions. The question today:
what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for life. The fact that I am able to live a full life and be able to do the kind of things that I want to do.
I'm very thankful for my life, my children, and my job. My job helps me to get money. I'm very, very thankful for that.
I thank Allah for my life and for my parents.
I'm grateful because I've attained at least education. The education is going to help me get a job and get other opportunities in life.
I'm thankful for my family, my friends, my husband, my children, and all the lovely friends of mine who have been helpful to me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South African police say 10,000 new officers will be on the streets by Christmas after a jump in violent crime, with murders up to 14%, carjacking 24%, and kidnapping doubling. Police say 7,000 people, almost 1,000 of them women, were murdered between July and September, and 10,000 women were raped in those 3 months. This disturbing trend comes just ahead of Friday's 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Vicky Sturge reports.
The crime figures from July to September were announced by the Minister of Police, Becky Cele.
The crime figures show that aggression and violence are at worrying levels in South Africa.
Cele has promised citizens that the 10,000 additional officers will make a difference during the Christmas holiday period and beyond. But crime analyst at the Institute for Security Studies, Gareth Newman, is sceptical. He says the crime stats show that the upward trend in murders that started over a decade ago has continued and increased, and the rate of increase has worsened. He says government's crime-fighting efforts are failing.
They simply are not able to utilize the vast resources of the state. We're talking about a large criminal justice budget, around 140 to 150 billion rand annually. Police organization with almost 180,000 personnel simply aren't able to utilize the resources effectively in a manner that brings perpetrators to justice.
For example, Newman says from 2012 until last year, the ability of the South African Police Service to solve murders has dropped by 50%. He has urged the President and the Minister of Police to take note of the reports from at least 5 government-sponsored commissions of inquiry or panels of experts looking into policing over the last 10 years and to make the necessary changes.
We need a completely new rethink, starting with the rejuvenation of the top management echelon of the South African Police Service, because that is where the problem starts. That management structure is at war with itself.
The founder of the non-governmental organization 1,000 Women, One Voice, Tina Tiat, agrees that there's much room for improvement in the criminal justice system. She and her team are getting ready to participate in the annual 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence, which starts Friday. Vicky Stark for VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
At the Qatar FIFA World Cup, all 5 African nations have played their first round matches. Today, Senegal will play its second game against host Qatar. Yesterday, Cameroon lost 1-0 to Switzerland, and Ghana lost to Portugal 3-2. Viewers Jackson Vunganyi, who is in the Ghanaian capital Accra, says Ghanaians were disappointed by the loss, but are still hopeful.
No, James, lots of disappointment in Accra, Ghana, as the Black Stars lose their opening match to Portugal. You know, coming into this match, many Ghanaians were confident that their boys would clinch their first win for Africa. And, you know, as all the African teams have fallen in their opening matches. But Ghanaians were encouraged by the mainly young squad that stood up to their more experienced rivals, the Portuguese. They said that if it wasn't for the penalty, which was, you know, questionable at best, that they would have come up at least with a draw. And, you know, nonetheless, the Black Stars have scored the most for any African side so far. 2 goals, and they will take that momentum in their next match when they play against South Korea.
I saw a very young team, and I think I was very impressed with their performance.
Absolutely. You know, Ghana's president Akufo-Addo joined the squad yesterday to give them inspiration and messages of love from their countrymen. You know, this country is a soccer nation, and I wish you were here in Accra to see the traffic around 3 p.m. when everybody was getting ready, driving home or to the bars or to the clubs to go and watch the game. And during the game, the town was really quiet, at least the roads. But Ghana's fans put their blame squarely on the coach, Akufo-Addo, who subbed Captain Andre Ayew after he had scored the team's first goal in the 73rd minute, I believe. Coach Addo also replaced another critical player, Kudus Mohamed, and many fans that I spoke to say that that was a strategic mistake and that the Portuguese were able to exploit that vacuum.
That's VOA's Jackson Vunganyi speaking with my colleague James Batty from Accra. We'd love to hear your remarks about issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's voice and text messages. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from several of you this week on our coverage of news and events. But first, we start with these voice messages SSIF fans sent us.
I'm Gatkos Manu Chungujia from Juba. Good evening, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The morning's Monday's ambush along Juba, Numeli Road, we took 4 lives and 22 wounds instigated by a bandit or unknown gun criminal is what I totally condemn in the strongest term possible, because the people who succumb it from barbaric attack as a great role in South Sudan where nobody can peel their gov. I call upon unity government to deploy SSPD forces to all the sport to contain the inhuman acts and sang.
Hello, John and Bill. This is Dan Dudagwa live from Rangwajok. As the World Cup competition kicks off in Qatar on Saturday, 20th November 2022, I wish success to all the African teams that have already booked their places in the World Cup tournament. My word is that the ball is round. You will never know whether one of the African teams will be crowned the champion of this year's World Cup. Thanks for the show.
Hello, John Tanza and Neville. My name is Martin Minyel, a South Sudanese. I would like to thank people who initiate the governance forum that is taking place now in Juba. It will help reduce challenges that face a governance cluster, things of salaries, challenges of infrastructure, and so many things. So it is good for people to discuss and bring the experience of the state and three administrative areas into government attention and try to find a solution on how to solve such thing.
This is Peter Gochanyang with Jongdun in Jongole State. As the governance forum is ongoing in Juba, I urge the leaders of the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas to look into the issues of insecurity, especially among the major ways like the Numeli Juba Highway.
Daniel Dundagbai from Rakmajok Lake State says, hello, John and Nabil. It is indeed paining when someone is going for adventure and finds death on their way. The recent attacks on passengers traveling from Juba to Kampala via Numeli was a coward act because these rebels know the SSPDF bases in South Sudan. Mind you, rebels, road ambushing is not the solution, but dialogue is. Maladao Mal in Bortown says, hello, John and Nabil. There will be no day this country will realize permanent peace if we continue attacking ourselves on highways. The hybrid court is surely needed here to try and hold culprits accountable. I do agree with the push made by Amnesty International. Mavor Alatrengo in Juba, South Sudan writes, hello, John Tanza. The killing of innocent people along Juba Numuli Road by enemies of peace will not yield any fruitful things to the society. Instead of taking the law into their hands, they should come to Juba to dialogue with the government to express their grievances. May the souls of those killed rest in peace. Joel Philip Kwan in Bortown of Jongole State says, hello, VOA. It was very unfortunate for the incident that happened along Numuli Juba Road, which claimed many innocent lives. I urge the government and the protection body to do more to increase more escorts, especially for civilian buses, both coming and going for better stability and protection of citizens. Thanks. Dinya Alex from Koboko says, hello, John. I am worried for our government on removing Governor Aleu. I wish the government should consider its MP's job to solve other issues. Thanks, love your program, and I wish peace comes to South Sudan so that the refugees from Uganda can go back home. Ngoro Oliver says, hi, John and Nabil. I am very glad with what you are doing. Accurate information coming back here to the people of South Sudan. Me, personally, don't miss your voice Monday to Friday. Let God bless you and the people of the Republic of South Sudan. By guest Stephen from Yay Small London says, "Good evening, John. As a patriotic citizen of Central Equatoria State, I will have to appreciate the Commissioner of Lanya County, Emmanuel Khamis, for his increased development of his county. Otherwise, if I could be the governor, then I would fire the commissioners of Yay and Morobo for not maintaining their roads and the security situation in their counties respectively." Peter Ajak Ayom in Bor of Jongule State says, "Hello, John and Nabil. As the 6th Governors Forum kicked off early this week, I am urging the 10 governors plus 3 administrators to discuss peace and security across the country. However, I also want some of them to learn and share ideas from other governors like General Rin Twain Mabor for putting Lake States into durable peace and stability once again. Let them also sell their economic, social interest to investors to attract more investors rather than attending the forum and coming out with nothing." John Albert Badiangamo from Yambio says, "If the lawmaker is given an order of burning a church in the country, what type of lawmaker is that? It is a violation of human rights. Let the government hold Salva Matog accountable for burning down the church and let him face justice. He should be punished by removing him from his position because he is fighting with the church. It is not right for a lawmaker to fight with church leaders because it mistreats the image of the government of South Sudan. He must pay for the reparation of the church he has burned down. Let President Salva Kiir look into the matter seriously and take action against Salva Matok. Thank you very much." Samuel Remo in Yay writes, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I am very pleased with OAU and civil society organizations for the bold decision made to establish a hybrid court as is stipulated in the Revitalized Peace Agreement to seek justice regarding politicians who had committed crimes in 2013 against humanity in the state." James Roy Majok from Bentiu Town says, "Hi, Nabil and John Tanza. The graduation of Unified Forces Command in Upper Nile State is a welcome move that will bring lasting peace in South Sudan. I'm expecting also the 6th Governors Forum in Juba to be a good pathway that will make peace to be implemented in the country." And finally, Luate Robert from a Uganda refugee camp writes, "We are facing challenges in food rations. If it is like this, we better go back to South Sudan. There is 4.1 kilogram per person for 30. Sometimes they may even delay 37 days. The opinions expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from so many of you. Keep those comments coming."
Send your brief comments and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. And that's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with the song Riziki by Jamnazi Africa. Been listening to Jamnazi Africa and the song Riziki. I am your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.